I'm Spencer. This is Andy. Andy's my new son. Well, he's my only son, but he might get mad really soon. But I just wanted to, it's Father's Day, so I just wanted to hold him for a second and show him to you because I'm proud of him. Okay, Mom, come get him. Scrolling through Facebook before service started, and a friend of mine wrote, I watched a Pixar short about an Asian woman raising a dumpling baby, and it made me cry. Darn you, Pixar. And that's kind of what parenthood feels like. I was a sap before I had Andy, but I'm even larger of a sap now. He makes me cry a lot, and so that's it. Happy Father's Day to me and all of you. Yeah, it's really fun being a dad. I didn't think it was going to be like this, but it's way better than I ever could have imagined, and so I'm really excited to be here on Father's Day talking to you about family. So Bill started this devoted series last week, and we're talking about what it means to have devoted lives and what that means in different contexts. And so I just, to start, want to recall what we're talking about when we talk about devoted. So our definition of devoted is consecrated, made sacred, given all of one's time to. And it's also kind of what we've got up on the slide there, the conviction of our hearts expressed in our actions. Bill really hit hard on this in the reality of the kingdom of God last week. He talked about the convictions of our hearts played out in our actions, expressed in our actions, becoming a very beautiful thing, becoming devotion when it's expressed within the reality of the kingdom of God. He ended last week with a passage from Matthew 6, which I'm going to put up on the screen now. It says, steep your life in God reality, God initiative, God provisions. Don't worry about missing out. You'll find all your everyday human concerns will be met. Give your entire attention to what God is doing now, and don't get worked up about what may or may not happen tomorrow. God will help you deal with whatever hard things come up when the time comes. This passage makes a whole lot of sense when we're talking about family for a lot of reasons. It's also the entire foundation for this whole series, but it's also where we're going to spend today in the context of family. So to start, I want to ask, what does it mean to be devoted to family? What does it mean to approach your family in a sacred manner? What does it mean to approach your family so that our actions express the convictions of our heart and the convictions of our heart being driven by the reality of the kingdom of God? So we're going to talk about that. I'm going to pray, and we'll talk a little more. Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you that you're good to us, that you love us. We thank you for the opportunity to connect with you, for all the lessons you teach us day in and day out, all the opportunities we have to worship you. You're so good to us, and we love you. Amen. So I asked you all those questions about family, and it seems easy to answer it because the first people that we say we love the most are families, yes. So you say, who do you love most in the world? Most people are like, my family. But if I also asked you who you fight with the most people will say, my family. So it's a complex issue when it comes to this idea of expressing the convictions of our heart. But it's not abnormal. It's not a new thing in our culture or anything like that. It's something that's been happening across time. My favorite story about family members, it's a story of Cain and Abel, right? Happens in Genesis. These two brothers, they go to give sacrifices to the Lord. They give offerings to the Lord. And the younger brother, Abel, he brings he brings his best cut of meat, his fattiest meat to offer to the Lord. And Cain, who is a farmer, brings some fruit to the Lord. And the Lord blesses Abel's offering and tells Cain to go back and try again. Cain gets really jealous, and so he goes and kills his brother. That's a great story about family, isn't it? Better yet, he's then cursed to walk the earth, and he says, well, anybody who sees me is going to kill me. And then God says, no, I'm going to mark you so that anybody who sees you will make sure not to kill you. It's such a beautiful story about family. In 1 John 3, that story is brought up again as an encouragement to us on how to live. John writes, this is the message you heard from the beginning. We should love one another. Do not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own actions were evil and his brother's were righteous. Let's pause. I want to do a show of hands. Who here thinks that murder is an action expressing the conviction of our hearts in the reality of the kingdom of God? Now, if any hands go up, everybody else run, because that's not a good thing, right? It's pretty obvious. Murder is not not something that we really associate with the convictions of our hearts expressed within the reality of the kingdom of God. But there probably are other things that we do that come from similar places in Cain's motivation. When we're tired, angry, sad, lonely, upset, stressed, scared, jealous, greedy, we're prone to act in ways that don't stem from a corrupted, that stem from a corrupted conviction of our hearts. So Cain is still acting out of a conviction of his heart, but it's a corrupted conviction. It's a conviction driven by things that are outside of the reality of the kingdom of God. So when we call back Matthew 6, we say, steep your life in God reality, God initiative, God provisions. Don't worry about missing out. You'll find all your everyday human concerns will be met. That's not where Cain's living. Cain's living convicted by jealousy. His head is down. He's dejected. He's not experiencing the reality of the kingdom of God, and so he acts in a way that's in opposition to that. He murders his brother. He kills his family. When we operate out of these things, we also do what we don't want to do. It could be anything. You could fight with your family when you don't need to fight with your family. You could ignore your family when you should be spending time with them. You could isolate yourself. You could get bitter towards your family. It can cause brokenness between married couples, between kids, brothers and sisters, cousins. The last 8 weeks have been some of the most trying time in my life. You got to meet Andy, and he was introduced 8 weeks ago. And I didn't realize I could be this tired. And all the parents laugh, which is funny. And so when I let that exhaustion get the best of me, when I am tired and angry and I'm sad or I'm lonely because one of us is always tending to him and we don't have any time to tend to each other, I act in ways that I don't want to. Sometimes I just wish Caitlin would do more, even though she's already doing more than her fair share. Sometimes I get frustrated when I come home from work and maybe the dishes aren't done. If I'm driven by that corrupted conviction of tiredness, anger. Maybe you're bitter towards your kids because they didn't get the grades you wanted to see them get in school. Or because it's summertime and they're bored and they keep bugging you, and you want them to just figure out what they can do with their time, and you don't want them to get in trouble. Or maybe you're upset with them because they tried to be not bored and they got in trouble. I know that happens a lot too. Maybe you're a kid and you're frustrated with your parents because you just wanted to have some fun. You got in a little bit of trouble and now they're holding you accountable. Maybe there's an illness or someone in the hospital who's putting strain on your family, and that stress is causing division among you. Maybe there's a family member who's doing something really, really bad that you don't agree with, and it's causing stress between you. If we look back at the reality of the kingdom, though, that being that we are loved by God and that our worries are satisfied, remember Matthew 6, 33 and 34, what then does that do to our heart? What conviction does that create? It's simple and it's complex. That conviction should be simply to love one another. Ah, that's really nice to land there on Father's Day, to love one another. Further down in the chapter in 1 John 3, he says, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need, but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. This, then, is how we know that we belong to the truth and how we set our hearts at rest in his presence whenever our hearts condemn us. For God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. For God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. I just want that to set in one more time. For God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. This is how we devote ourselves to our family. The conviction of our hearts expressed in our actions towards our family within the reality of the kingdom of God. Let me say that again because it's a lot. The conviction of our hearts expressed in our actions towards our family within the reality of the kingdom of God follows this prerequisite that we believe and have experienced that reality of the kingdom. When you're tired, when you're angry, when you're lonely, when you're sad, when you're isolating yourself, when you don't know how to deal with the situations that you're experiencing with your family, remember that you believe in and you have experienced the reality of the kingdom. The reality of the kingdom being the freeing love of God, that free love that he's given to us. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. Because he has loved us and freed us, we can then truly be devoted to our families. So what does that look like when I'm angry, when I'm tired, when I'm sad, when I'm lonely? Well, I'll talk about the most pertinent experience that I have, and that's with Andy. When I wake up at 5 in the morning and he's screaming and Caitlin's been up all night, instead of trying to pretend I'm still asleep and letting her continue to deal with it, I get up and I take him. I hold him, and if he's crying, I maybe take him away from the bedroom so that she can't hear him, although he screams so loud that there's no way she can't. And I try to calm him down. And I try to calm myself down knowing that this exhaustion, that this tiredness, it's temporary. That Andy's a gift I've been given. That God's love is a gift that's been given to me. And that because of that, I can react calmly in the way that he needs. When I get home from work and I see that Caitlin is totally exhausted from a fussy baby, continuing to cry all day, and there's some chore around the house, I look at it and I go, here's an opportunity for me to love my family. I don't get frustrated that thing's not done, that I worked and that I came home and I have more opportunity to give back to them. When our pastor, Bill, goes home every day from work, he sits in his driveway before he gets out of the car and goes into the house. He checks in with God and he says, what do I need to let go of from today? What do I need to take on for my family when I go into the house? And he says that that's been a beautiful exercise for him, simply in realigning himself with the reality of the kingdom of God, letting his heart be convicted by that, and then expressing love for his family. It could be any number of things. I mean, I mentioned a lot of like yelling and fighting, and sometimes that might have to take place in your family. We want to do it in a gentle way, but sometimes there's something going on that might need correction. It might need help. Someone you love might need a lifeline. As long as that's coming from a place where you know you're loved and you know they're loved and you're giving love to them, it's within the reality of the kingdom of God. If we could have a perspective shift on the definition of devotion, I believe we would be living with our families in a way that reflects true devotion, that being love and the reality of the kingdom. It's all getting to a simple idea that was expressed back in Matthew 6. This point where he says, give your entire attention to what God is doing now, and don't get worked up about what may or may not happen tomorrow. Give your attention to what God is doing now. The reality of the kingdom and true devotion are leading us to be present, to be here, to be with our families right now. Every moment that you can be with them, you are with them. I know a lot of us go to work every day and we get really tired. I explained that earlier. We get home and we just want to reset, maybe veg out, watch some television, take a rest. And if we're motivated by those other things, if we're convicted by those other things, if that conviction is corrupted, we're not present. I'm not telling you to quit your job and just spend all your time with your family, because then surely we would be murdering each other. But I think God's asking us to be present with our families, to take every moment that we spend with them and run it through that lens of the reality of the kingdom, to ask him how he wants us to respond to them and to love one another. I've been thinking a lot about what happened 8 weeks ago. My absolute worst nightmare in the entire world was that I would marry someone that I love very much and that she would die in childbirth and I wouldn't know how to be a human being anymore. And I almost faced that reality. So Andy decided to come just a little bit early and in a really dramatic way. And Caitlin and I had to really talk for a few brief seconds about what might be happening to her and how this was my absolute nightmare. Playing out right in front of my eyes. And then when I got to hold him, everything changed. And over the last 8 weeks, there's been nothing better than just holding that little baby in my arms. I can find it really easy to get bored sometimes, and I have not been bored once in the last 2 months. Just sitting there holding him when he's asleep. He does nothing. He cracks a smile and I melt. And so two things about that. I think that's the perspective that God wants us to have with our families. In whatever situation, he wants us to melt over our families. He wants us to see our wife or our husband or our children or our parents and say, they are beautiful people and I love them and you should love them too. Whatever's going on, even if they poop in their diapers and it goes up their back and you have to clean it up, you still should love them, even if you're tired. I realize that could be a scary reality for several people in this room, and that for others it might not be poopy diapers, it might be any number of things, but I believe that God wants us to look at our family like that. And then the second thing about that perspective is that's the way he looks at us. And that's what drives us to be devoted. He loves us that way. He loves us in a way that he's not bored if we're just sitting together. He loves us in a way that just looking at us makes him melt. So that's what it means to be devoted this morning to your family, to be present with them, to love them, regardless of the situation, regardless of your heart. It means taking on the reality of the kingdom and letting that convict you into a beautiful place. I want to invite the band back up and just look forward a little bit. Because this message is bigger than just your family, right? In that First John passage where John says we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers, he's not actually talking about our family. He's talking about community. So next week, we're having Bill's installation service, and he's going to talk briefly about community. And then the next week, the first week of July, we're going to really hit home on community. And what better way to talk about community than to spend time together? So we're going to have a really short service. And then the wonderful Tomes have opened up their lake house for us. We'll be done in about a half an hour here, and we'll all head down to the Tomes lake house and just have a party together. And we'll experience this love and the reality of the kingdom. But this morning, as we're thinking about fatherhood, as we're thinking about love, I really want you to take stock of your family. Think about the places where you've approached them out of a corrupted conviction. Think about the places where you could approach them convicted by love. Melt over your family today. Look at them and laugh and smile and cry and hug them and hold them close. It's one of the greatest gifts God has given us. Father, we thank you for this morning. You're so good.